It's good to see everybody here today. It's good to see some rain going on out there. We haven't had any of that for a while, right? Yeah. No, we should be thankful for the rain. That's what makes everything grow. Also cools off the 90-degree weather from time to time. I'm excited about the Magi Project. You know, we did this a few years ago, and I appreciate Laura and her efforts here. And she wants you to know not to be shy about taking a box when you leave here. In fact, she wants you to take two, if that's possible. But you're welcome to take as many boxes as you want and fill those up. We've got several weeks to do that. But if you have any questions, you can, of course, see Laura. But if you could, take at least two boxes, but take as many as you want. We've been looking at ourselves as Christians. And, of course, our goal as God's people, we want to be better Christians today than we were yesterday, right? Isn't that a goal that we have? We want to improve. We want to be better at doing the things that God wants us to do each day. We want to grow. And we've been asking ourselves in 2018, are we growing in our walk with God, or do we find ourselves falling behind? As humans, we get distracted, don't we? Anybody in here ever get distracted? All right, yeah, exactly. A couple hands go up. That's right. We get distracted. The world throws a lot of stuff at us. Satan works on us, and he works on us to the point that sometimes maybe we even forget about God. Maybe even we get to a point where we forget what Jesus has done for us or the Christian life we're supposed to live. But you know what? God knows all about us. And God knows sometimes we get distracted and we need reminded. And this summer we've been looking at the I am statements made by Jesus in the Gospel of John. Those statements help us remember, help remind us who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what impact he can make in our lives. We looked at his statement where he says, I am the bread of life. We looked at his statement where he says, I am the light of the world. And today, we're going to talk about doors and gates. Doors are very common, wouldn't you agree? Everywhere in the world you go, you're going to find doors in some respect. There's so many types of doors. We have ornate doors that enter into cathedrals. We have steel doors that are on bank vaults. We have canvas doors that are on tents. There are doors to chicken coops, right, Kim Trader? She's working on a chicken coop this week, if you didn't know. There are barn doors and horse stalls, right? Doors are everywhere. There are all kinds of doors, all types of sizes, glass doors, greenhouse doors. Doors can be expensive, or they can be very cheap. Doors can be heavily decorated, or they can be completely plain. But they all have different purposes, depending on where they are. You see, a bank vault door isn't designed for beauty, right? It's designed for strength. The door to your house is designed for a couple of reasons. It's to look good. You want beautiful doors, but you also want a strong door with some level of security, right? Let's look at Jesus' words in John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. We're going to be using doors and gates interchangeably this morning because they serve the same purpose for the most part. And this parable seems pretty straightforward. But the Pharisees had some trouble and the disciples had some trouble understanding, so Jesus spells it out for him. You see, many of the sheepfolds in the Middle East didn't have a door. In fact, they had a doorway, but the shepherd himself was actually the door. The shepherd controlled who got into the sheep and who got out. He was that door. And in this passage, Jesus is saying, I am the door to the sheep. And of course, the sheep pen, that's a reference to us as Christians. Now, the religious leaders of this time, they were trying to make all kinds of rules for people, put all kinds of conditions on coming to Jesus, all kinds of conditions on the people, and they were acting like they were the door. Jesus is trying to explain, there are others who came before me. There are others who come who are not the true door of heaven. But I am the door, he says. I set the standards for who gets in and who doesn't. We cannot change his standards, church. That's not our role. Jesus uses a door as one of the metaphors to describe himself. Again, John chapter 10, verse 7, very truly I tell you, I am the gate or the door for the sheep. So what does a door do for us? Think about your door. What do doors do? Well, a door provides an invitation to enter, doesn't it? If you want to walk into a building, can you just bust through the wall? Not unless you're the Kool-Aid man, right? Y'all remember him? Oh, yeah. But a door provides the invitation to enter into the house or to the building. If you want to go in somewhere, you got to look for the door. You ever walked around a building looking for the door? I've done that sometimes in bigger cities, and it's aggravating. And then you find a door, and maybe it's locked, and you got to keep looking. So a door provides a way for an invited guest to get in. We are all invited to the kingdom of heaven. We are all invited to walk through that door. But if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, we have to enter through the door that is Jesus. He tells us, I am the door to the sheep. And when he uses this metaphor, he is the door through which the sheep enter safely into God's pasture, the rich pasture, his blessings. It is through him, through Jesus, that the lost can approach God. That is no small thing, church. The God, the creator of the universe, through him, through Jesus, we can approach him. Jesus invites us to enter through him time and time again. And we've looked at this verse a lot, and it's one of my favorite verses, John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Bible times, the shepherd would lead his sheep to a place, sometimes to a cave, and then he would lay across the entrance to that cave to act as that door. No one could get into the sheep without going through the shepherd. And the sheep, of course, couldn't wander out without going through the shepherd. But I want us to look at what Jesus says concerning this gate or this door to heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is saying, if you want to enter God's kingdom, if you want to be part of his family, you enter through me. I'm the door. It's never our place to make it easier or harder than what God has said for people to enter through that door. We're to follow his word and follow what he teaches us. The thing we have to understand, God desires for all to be saved. Do we believe that? God wants everyone to be saved. This door is open to everyone, no matter what we think of them. But the question we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to walk through that door that Jesus has opened for us? Think back to the Old Testament. Think back to Noah's Ark. There was only one entrance into that ark. There's only one door into heaven. There's no secret entrances, no trap doors, no VIP access, but only one door, and that's Jesus Christ. Are we willing to walk through that door? John chapter 10, verse 8, which Austin read for us, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. A door provides an invitation to enter. And a door also provides a way of separation. Although we buy doors that look nice, what's the purpose of our door? What's the purpose of the door at your house? It is to keep people out, right? You say that, Tina? Good job. It's good. It's to keep people out. A door to our house, to your house, the purpose of it is to let the people in that you want in, but the goal is to separate from the people that you don't want in. To be on one side of a closed door means you are separated from the other side of that door. We buy doors to separate. If a door's closed, you better have a good reason for going in, right? Or you might be met with some resistance. My dad's door says, we don't call 911. We don't use doors for ornaments most of the time. And you know what? Jesus Christ is not an ornament for us either. He is the door that separates us from the world. Have you thought about that? Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. There is a huge difference, church, to being on the outside or the inside of this door when this door is closed. You know, you can stand in a doorway for a long time, can't you? You ever stand in doorways? I don't know that I really have, but maybe you have. You can stand in a doorway for a long time. But one fact that I can't find an argument around, when a door is closed, you cannot be on both sides of it. Anybody disagree with that? If so, I'd like to hear your theory. You can't be on both sides of a closed door. We want to be on the inside with our Lord and Savior. If you're on the wrong side of that door and it closes, it's too late. That's a harsh reality. And we don't like to think that very often. It's tough to think about that. But if you're on the wrong side of that door when it closes, it will be too late. The ark door, when it was closed and the flood water started coming up, it was too late for everybody on the other side of that door, wasn't it? For 120 years, Noah preached to the people about God and about what He was going to do and about what they needed to do. But they didn't listen. And when that door was closed, it was too late. My personal opinion is that's why we're told God shut that door. I'm sure that's more than Noah could stand. And that was the end when He did that. Church, the Bible tells us we don't know when that door will close. We don't know when Jesus will come back. It could be today. It could be 10,000 years from now. We also don't know when our lives on this earth will end. But we do know one thing. As our dear brother Bert Clendenin used to say often, the thing about this life is, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. That day comes for us all, church. We talked about this in class a little bit this morning. It's not pleasant to think about. Which side of that door will you be on when it closes? Matthew 12:30, Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. We don't want to be caught on the outside looking in when that door closes. Are you willing to walk through that door? Again, John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I am the gate, Jesus says. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full. A function of a door is it separates. And another function of a door, it provides safety and comfort. Notice in verse 9, we're told that if we enter through Jesus, we can go in and out and find pasture. Sheep need pasture for nourishment. And Jesus provides that nourishment to us. Remember a couple weeks ago, He's the bread of life. He's the bread of our nourishment. But the shepherd is also a means of protection for the sheep. He kept the wolves and the robbers and all the bad things away from the sheep. Your house, the door to your house keeps robbers and thieves out, right? Keeps the bad guys out, keeps the good guys in. And the door to your house also provides some comfort. When I was a kid and I would leave the door open, you know what my dad used to say? He used to ask me a question. Were you born in a barn? Right, were you born in a barn? You've all heard that same question. I ask that question to Austin every now and then. Were you born in a barn? Because the air conditioning gets out when the door is open. The heat gets out. The cold air, the hot air gets in. But the door serves as a function to help keep things stabilized, to keep it comfortable. Now, God has never promised us a comfortable life on this earth. But He has promised His peace. He has promised His joy. He has promised His love. And He acts as a door for us and separates us from the world. A door of safety and protection and of God's comfort. When Jesus calls Himself the door, He's offering protection for the lost. And He's offering a place of safety for those who need a Savior. Church, that's all of us. Amen? We all need a Savior. And I want us to pay special attention to John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, to have it abundantly, some translations say. The thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. Satan's a liar, church. He gives you what you think you need. He gives you what you think you want. But the price you pay for that in the long run is everything. It's your soul. He doesn't love you. He doesn't want you to be protected. He doesn't want to give you an abundant life. But Jesus says He came so that you can not just have life, but have an abundant life, to give you what you need. He doesn't steal from you. But He wants you to have a joyful, blessed life in this, on this earth. But more importantly, an eternal life with Him when this is all said and done. It's the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning. If you're not on the inside of this door, what is it that you want? Is heartache and sorrow and a life apart from God your goal? Or do you want a joyful and abundant life in Jesus? You see, when you say that, you got to be careful, because I never want to preach that life is all a bed of roses when you become a Christian, because we're promised it's the opposite. But even in those trying times, even in those struggles, we can have peace and we can have joy and we can have this abundant life that Jesus promises, because we have a home in heaven and we have a Savior who protects us. He is the door. Amen? He is the door. On which side of the door are you? On which side of the door am I? If you die today, or if Jesus comes back this afternoon, will you be on the inside of that door? This door is open. You are invited to it. Take that invitation. You know, Revelation 3, verses 20 through 21 reads, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne." Wow. It's worth it all, church. Are you willing to walk through the door Jesus has opened for you? Do you have the courage to walk through to salvation? You know, salvation is found in Jesus only. He is the gate to the kingdom. No one can enter in except through Him. And having entered in through Him, we find the freedom to come and go and dwell in a state of peace, even in the midst of misery and chaos here. Psalm 23:6 says about the kingdom of God, "Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell," that means live, "in the house of the Lord forever." That's a promise, church. Come to Jesus today. Enter through that door. Come through that gate. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Recognize that you're a sinner who needs saved. But no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how many questions you have, or how much uncertainty you wrestle with, you can have a home in heaven through Jesus. He can forgive your past and give you a future where you have a home with Him. Come to Him and repent. Be baptized where your sins are washed away, where you come up out of that water a new creature. The old person is dead and gone. The new person comes up washed, fresh, with God's Spirit dwelling in him. This Spirit that will lead you, the Spirit that will guide you, the Spirit that will be there for you no matter what you face on this earth. Claim that for your life today. This door invites you to come to the right side of eternity, where you receive God's blessings and protections here and can live an abundant life here, but where you know with assurance you have a home there for eternity. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.